25 begins a brand new section that continues till about Psalm 39. And it records the intimate, personal experiences of David. And they are wonderful. And let me tell you this, they are not just, they're just as relevant today in the 21st century as they were the moment that David penned them and loved one until Jesus comes, the rapture of the church takes place. The Word of God, the Psalms of God will be just as relevant today and for all eternity. I pray that you spend much time in them. So as we look at Psalm 25 tonight, these three Psalms put together, I put a title for tonight's message, Lead Me in a Smooth Paths. And I'll tell you, if there's anything that I would like, that you would like right now, is that our path be made so smooth by Almighty God. It seems like we've been going uphill since March 13th. We haven't, are in the valley. And Lord, and I know that one day this is all going to be over with. So the prayer of David, Psalm 25, let's get started tonight. It says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Do you ever begin a prayer like that? Lord, to you, I lift up everything that I am. I lift up my soul, meaning my mind, my emotional makeup, Lord. Everything that I am, my own perfect, my will, Lord. Everything that I am. I know that there are many Christians across our nation right now. Man, they're lifting up their all to God. They're praying not only for our nation, they're praying not only for peace, they're praying not only for our police officers, the horrible things that have been happening. They're praying for in the midst of COVID-19, that, Lord, we're ready to see all of our lives just simply smooth out. Lord, where it's a normal again. That's what we're praying for. That's what we want. Oh, my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed, and let not my enemies triumph over me. We could add to that and say, don't let the world or the flesh or the devil triumph over us at all. Indeed, let no one who waits on the Lord or waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. A better translation for the word ashamed would be disappointed. So let's look at it again. He prays, O Lord, I trust in you. I don't trust in anyone else. I lean all of my weight. I rely and trust in you and no one else. He says, let me not be disappointed. Let my enemies not triumph over me. Indeed, and then he says, let no one who waits and waits, remember to wait on the Lord is the posture of faith. Let no one who waits on you be disappointed, and let those be disappointed who deal treacherously without a cause. You know, when we trust in the Lord, when we rely on the Lord, I promise you, you know it, I know it, you will never be disappointed. Not if you really dwell in God's word and trust God's word. David cried out in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, blessed is the man who trust in him. And I promise when you trust in the Lord, you will never, ever be disappointed. No one who waits on God is ever ashamed. You know why? God is faithful. When we are faithless, he always remains faithful. And to wait on the Lord doesn't mean, Lord, what are you doing? When are you going to da-da-da-da-da? It means that you're waiting in faith. You're waiting in expectation. You're waiting to see what he is going to do. The psalm was just written in Psalm 62:5, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation or my hope is from him. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. Waiting, as we've already learned, waiting is the posture of faith. Remember this Sunday, this past Sunday, the message that God gave us? You know, God is working even while we're waiting, even if we don't see it, even if we don't feel it, he is working for us. Isaiah 64:4 says this, God who acts or who works for the one who waits for him. Verse 4, show me your ways. Teach me your paths, O Lord. That is literally the theme, if you will, of David's prayer, or his psalm, which is learning. I want to learn your ways, Lord. I want you to teach me your ways. I want to go down your paths. You see, because the Lord's paths, they're smooth. They're from God. They're given unto us. They'll never disappoint us. The Bible teaches us, Paul the Apostle said, when we are led by the Lord, it says, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And the only way is for us to be going down his path, the path that leads us down to the narrow road. That's where all victory is found. The Bible says, remember what David cried out? He says, the Lord, he leads me beside still waters. Boy, we could handle some of that tonight, couldn't we? I'm ready for some still waters because they're so turbulent right now in our nation. The Bible tells us, the Psalm of David, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. O Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Those who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, those who are not born from above, who Jesus died for and whom Jesus loves, you know what they do? They leave their house each morning with God is not on their mind. They haven't prayed. They don't know the Lord. And the moment they leave, they choose their own path. They don't choose the path of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right unto man, but its end is the way of death. The greatest thing that we can do is trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to lean not upon our own understanding, to acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he shall direct your paths. The word direct in Hebrew means to make level, to make smooth. What a glorious word, Proverbs 3 and 5. It says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. I love that. Did you get it? Show me, teach me, lead me. Total dependence in every area of David's life. Boy, how we need to apply that. We have the Spirit of truth that lives in us, the Holy Spirit of God. To remember what Jesus said in John 8:31 to the Jews who had believed in him? He says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Verse 6. David says in his prayer, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Now listen to what he says there. Do not remember the sins of my youth. Do not remember my transgressions. According to your mercy, look what he says. Another remember. He says, just remember me, Lord, for your goodness's sake, O Lord. You know, maybe you're older tonight. Maybe you're old as I am, you know, and you've lived a long time. And you sometimes, all of us, we look back to when we were younger. We look back to our young, when we were just a youth. And we say with sadness, Lord, I'm sorry that I did that, even though our sins are completely forgiven. I understand exactly what David is saying. Lord, listen. You know, I'm sad about all that. I don't want to remember them. And you know what, loved one? Don't remember them. Let us not remember what God has forgotten. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:17, your sins I will remember no more. Our sins have been carried away there as far as the east is from the west. They are past finding. They are gone forever. Thank God for that. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble, catch that word, the ones that want to obey the Lord, not the proud, the humble, he guides in justice. And the humble he teaches in his way, all the paths of the Lord. May I add to Scripture? All the paths of the Lord, to God, his definition, they would be smooth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep. In other words, their mercy and truth to those who walk in obedience, who want to find those roads, who want to walk down those roads, to such as keep his covenant, his testimonies, for your name's sake. O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. You know, we love David, the greatest king Israel, as greatest military leader. But you know what? Every person's sin, every person's iniquity, every person's transgression is great in the eyes of God, not just David's. And thank God tonight, if you are in Christ Jesus, you stand completely forgiven, forever forgiven, because of one person, Jesus Christ, who bore the sin of the world. He says, and who is the man who fears the Lord? Now look at the result of fearing the Lord. Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in ease or prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. And the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 9:10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and how we need to study the Word of God. He says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. If we really want to be taught by God, if we really want to go down the paths of God, if we really want to be led, it says what we need to do is like David. He says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. In other words, we keep our eyes upon the Lord, Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. He says, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me. I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. You know, I can pray that for me tonight and for you tonight as well. The troubles of our heart with all that's happening in our land. You know, the news has exhausted us. I try not to even look at it. Matter of fact, I haven't been turning on the news, the early morning news. I check, of course, you know, on my PC and so forth. But I just, it's overkill. I can't take it. It is, it's exhausting me. If there's ever been a time to keep our eyes on Jesus, it is right now. Don't keep our focus on the things that are happening in this world. Pray about the things that are happening, but don't be consumed with what is happening. The troubles of my heart, oh, they're so enlarged, he says. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction. Look upon my pain. Forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many. They hate me with cruel, or they hate me with violent hatred. Boy, we're seeing that right now, aren't we? Keep my soul. Deliver me. Let me not be disappointed or ashamed. For I put my trust in you, and let my integrity, uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. What a great prayer for a confused nation tonight. Oh man, we could pray that right now. David says, you know what, Lord, I wait on you. Meaning, remember, waiting is a posture of faith. He's waiting in expectation. He says, oh, redeem Israel. Oh, God, out of all their troubles. Well, nothing has changed for Israel since David penned this psalm. And everything, they're in trouble today. They're going to be in trouble until the day of the second coming when Christ comes. But I tell you, this prayer should be a prayer for our nation tonight. Because whether we like it or not, we can stick our head in the sand. I pray that you don't. But you know what? Our nation tonight is overflowing with troubles within and without. And I could pray that prayer like this. Oh God, redeem America, oh God, out of all their troubles. May that happen. May God redeem America out of all their troubles. Psalm 26, vindicate me, or, oh Lord, Lord, declare me innocent. For Lord, I've walked in my integrity. I've trusted in the Lord, and I love it. Here it is. I shall not slip. I like the King James Version a little better. It says, I shall not slide. You see, God says, I'm going to put you on a smooth path. And you know what? You're not going to slide to the right. You're not going to slide to the left, but you have to trust in me in order not to do that. The Bible tells us, Paul said, that there's no other foundation that has been laid except Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to build your life, and it's upon him. Why? He is our perfect, level foundation. You build your life upon him, you will not be slipping to the right or to the left. And David says, oh God, vindicate me or declare me innocent. You see, David, listen now, David was a sinner just like all of us. He sinned with Bathsheba. He had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, murdered in the heat of battle. But you know what? That was not David's lifestyle. Sin wasn't David's lifestyle at all. Listen, God said that David was a man after his own heart. And when you study out the book of Kings, you'll find that this, that David, the king of King David, he was the measuring stick for every king after him. And if they followed the ways of David, meaning they loved the Lord and they did what God wanted, they were a good king. If they didn't, they were a wicked king. So David, man, listen, he was the measuring stick. He says, make me clean. Declare me innocent. You know, that's one of the greatest things that a Christian can have is to know that we have been declared innocent in the eyes of Almighty God. In other words, our sin has been removed. We're not only justified, man, we are sanctified. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, but of him, or because of God, you who are in Christ Jesus, those that are born again, who became for us, meaning Jesus, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus is everything we need, and it's found in just one person, no one else. It says that Jesus is for us made wisdom. Jesus is the greatest source of wisdom in all of the universe. It says he's been made unto us righteousness. Romans 3:24, Paul writes, being justified or declared innocent or declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's amazing that instead of God punishing us for our sin, he punishes his own son. Jesus assumed our sin debt. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, now when we trust in him, God does something. He imputes Jesus' perfect, spotless, sinless record over into our account. The Bible says now that those that are in Christ, it says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, but God made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Sanctification, it says he's been made unto us. So Jesus not only imputed unto us his spotless, sinless record, he imputed unto us his life. We're set apart for God, and we're being transformed from glory to glory to glory. And redemption means that what we've been bought back or redeemed by the paying of a price. It says in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption. We're liberated. We've been set free through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now look at verse 2. Here's one that we love dearly. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. That word means test me. Try my mind. Look into my thoughts, every one of them. He says, and try my heart, the place of every desire, of every appetite. Look at all those things. I'm going to ask you a question. When, and really and truly, when was the last time you prayed that like that? Man, Lord, turn your searchlight on my entire being. Man, I say, David, I swear, you're so... He says, Lord, I need a spiritual checkup. I want you to look deep within me. The word examine means to test or prove to see if a person is genuine. Do you really love me? Are you really following me? Are you really coming after me? The psalmist has said in Psalm 139:23, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way of everlasting. And that is a smooth path, loved one. Look at verse 3 with me. Your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I've walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with the hypocrites? I've hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. That sounds like Psalm 1, doesn't it? David was a Psalm 1 man. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel or the advice or the wisdom of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, the word of God. And he meditates upon it day and night, meaning that the ungodly, not people that kill people, murderers and all, that's not what he's talking about. Ungodly here means those who have absolutely no desire for the things of God. Ungodly there means those who, they make daily decisions, but God is not in their decision-making at all. David says, oh no, man, I meditate upon the word of God daily. Jesus told us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How important that is that we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Loved one, listen. No, David says, you know what? I'm not hanging out with those kind of people. Their decision-making, God's word is not involved with them at all. They wake up every morning and they start their day without God, without prayer, without Bible study, without any fear of God. And David says, I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. David's lifestyle was one of worship. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was always writing psalms of praise unto the Lord. You remember when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem from Obed-Edom's house. The Bible says he was just filled with gladness. The priests, they were filled with gladness. And it says in 2 Samuel 6:13, and so it was when those hearing, meaning those who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord had gone six paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Now listen, let's get a grip on what David just said. David had the priest offer a sacrifice unto the Lord every six steps that they took. They were 10 miles away from Jerusalem. Can you imagine how long that took? Six, the number of man. Six is the six-day man was created. Man, God says to the Jews, he said, you labor 6 days, and on the seventh day, you rest. I don't know what lesson this is trying to teach us from David, from Samuel tonight, but let me say this. Maybe it says those six steps, we should stop and worship God. That's how important the worship and the sacrifice unto God should be in our lives. And then it says, the next verse there in Samuel says, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might in his linen ephod. Listen, David was worshiping. He was celebrating the Lord. It was a dance of worship, a display of his passion and love for God. Look at verse 9. He says, do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. He says, do not gather my soul with sinners. The word gather there means to gather at death. And David was saying, don't bind me. Don't put me in the same bundle, Lord, as those. You remember Jesus' parable in Matthew's gospel, there about the wheat and the tares. In Matthew 13:30, Jesus said this, let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together. There's that word that David used. First gather together the tares. You bind them in bundles to burn them. But the wheat, you gather them into my barn. The terrible destiny of the tare. I thank God that we know the wheat where we're going. He says, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me, be merciful unto me. Why? Watch. For my foot stands in a even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. yes, David, an even place, a smooth place, if you will. And this great psalm of David, Psalm 27, the Lord is my light, he is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Did you know that in the Old Testament, Psalm 27 is the only place where a God is actually called light? There's no other place. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord is our light. One old saint said it this way. He said, I can't walk without thee. And that is a true word. God is light, the Bible teaches, and there is no darkness in him at all. Talking about Jesus, it says in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light is in Christ alone. There is no other light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life and never walk in darkness. Thank God for that. Listen, loved one, every path, every smooth path that's not from God, every path in this world and every generation, every religion, if it's not Jesus, it'll only lead to darkness. It'll never lead anywhere else. And David asked this great question, whom shall I fear? John Stott put it this way, the Lord is my light to guide me. The Lord is my light, he's my salvation to deliver me, and the stronghold of my life in whom I take refuge. David said, whom shall I fear? I heard someone talking the other day that they were afraid of the devil. Maybe that's a good thing, but we shouldn't be afraid of the devil. 1 John 2:14 says, he says to the young men, you are strong, and he tells us why, for the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. We are in Christ. We don't have to be afraid of the defeated one. We don't have to be afraid of the deceiver, the father of all lies. We don't have to be afraid of anything except God and no one else. No, listen, well, Bill, how about death? We don't have to be afraid of death. 1 Corinthians 15, what is it, 55? Oh, no, listen, every Christian, when he closes his eyes in victory. Whenever, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And when the wicked came against me, in verse 2, to eat up or to devour my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. I'm going to tell you, if that is a today word for us right now, I mean, man, listen. Here we are, the COVID-19, horrible, wicked racism, civil unrest, horrible destruction in our cities. And David says, when the wicked come against me. And then he says, enemies come against me. Foes come against me. Armies or war. He says, my heart shall not fear. That's a good word tonight for us not to fear anything. Only the Lord. See, when we fear the Lord, there's nothing else left to fear in this life. What did Jesus tell us about our heart if it's troubled? Jesus said in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, the very peace of Christ himself. He says, I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. And he says, let your heart be not troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is a true word. Listen, the world that we live in, the things of this world, do you know they are powerless to give peace? They can't give you peace. They can't give me peace. But I'll tell you what the world does. The world robs our peace. It steals our peace and everything else. The world lies because it cannot give peace. I hear tonight, you've heard the news over and over about the horrible, horrible things that happened with that poor man there from the police officer. And how it was terrible. But you know what? You cannot pass enough laws to stop people from doing sin. You cannot legislate morality. You see, the only one thing will change a person. It's not the laws of the land. It's the law that God can place in his heart. He has to have a new heart. He has to be born from above. And David says, one thing I've desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Not just Sunday for us. All the days of my life. Now watch this. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David says, there's only one thing I want. I'm consumed with one thing. I only have one passion. I only have one desire. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to inquire the Lord in his holy temple. You know, every time I read that scripture, I don't know why, it just brings back, some of you probably won't remember, you're too young, but Keith Green, what an incredible psalmist. What are the songs that he sang? You remember that song, you know, oh Lord, you're beautiful, your face is all I seek. That song goes right here with this verse. He says, oh, when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds through me. What a great song and what a great psalm this is. It says, for in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in his secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. Hide me there, Lord. Hide us right now. And he shall set me high upon a rock. What is David talking about? He's talking about the Holy of Holies. That's the place where we can go, loved one. The Bible, one of my favorite scriptures, I've probably quoted a million times, Psalm 61:1, attend unto my prayer, O God. In other words, let my prayer only fill your heart. Just let my prayer fill your heart to the full, O Lord. For from the ends of the earth I'll cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock is Christ Jesus. That's what David was saying. But look at verse 6 now. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. Where is mercy found for the New Testament believer? Well, really the same place that David was, there in the Holy of Holies. Where's grace found? In the Holy of Holies. Where do we obtain it? In the Holy of Holies. In other words, we go boldly to the throne of grace, that place that we can obtain mercy and all the things that we need in time of help. David says, oh, when you said, seek my face, look at this now, my heart, not David's mind. He says, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. You know, Matthew 6:33. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things is Jesus talking about? The things that we need in life, the clothes that we put on, the food that we eat. He says, your provision is not here. Your provision is in heaven. That's where we need to seek him first. He's the number one priority every day in our life. David says, oh, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I'll seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. You know, I searched diligently through God's word, and I couldn't find any place where it was recorded that David's dad, Jesse, or his mother in any way forsook him. So we're not for sure what David is talking about. But look what he says in verse 11. Here it is. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. That's exactly what I want for this church. I pray in Jesus' name right now that whatever you're facing tonight, I don't see you, I don't know your heart, I don't know what's going on, but I know there's pressures in life, and I know there's heartaches in life, and I know that there's trouble all around us tonight. But I pray in Jesus' name, just like David said, oh Lord, that God would lead you in a smooth path, a level place where there's no strain, there's no sorrow. It's just easy following the Lord in that smooth path. He says, oh, do so, Lord, because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, such as breathe out violence. And oh, what a great verse. Look at 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I cannot tell you how many times that I embrace that scripture had I not believed. See, if we don't believe, you're going to lose heart. If you don't believe, you're going to be discouraged. If you don't believe, loved one, listen, what else is there to believe? The news? Man's word? Oh, no. David says, oh, God, I would have lost heart. I would have given up. I would have remained defeated and discouraged, he says, unless I had believed that I would see, visibly see, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, oh, wait on the Lord. Remember, the posture of faith is waiting. Be of good courage and look at the promise. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Keep your focus tonight. Keep your focus tomorrow. Keep your focus this week on God's word. He said, be of good courage. Jesus told us in John 16:33, he said, these things I've spoken to you, into me you may have peace. Now listen, in the world that we live in, Jesus promised us, he said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have problems. He says, now listen, but be of good courage, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now listen, what does that mean? It means that when Jesus says, I've overcome the world, it means everything in the world, every hurt, every demon, everything that the world can give and try to deceive, everything in this world, in every generation, Jesus has defeated it. He has overcome the world. 1 John 5:4 says, and whatever is born of God, whoever is born again, overcomes the world. That is the only qualification. Are you born from above? Are you a new creation of Christ? Calvary, listen to me now. You have overcome this world right now. The COVID virus, everything that's in this world is defeated because Jesus defeated them for us. And that's exactly where I stand, and I keep my eyes upon that. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, not our fighting, our believing. No, he says, and who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the author, the finisher of our faith. Why don't you choose right now, until this junk is behind us and even after that, that you make that scripture yours for the rest of 2020, that you hold on to it. The new birth overcomes the world, and we are in him who has overcome the world. And the world, loved one, listen, all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. It's all of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever. We have already won. I'm calling every person at Calvary Chapel to be fasting and be praying against what's happening in our nation. The wickedness, the racism, it's so wicked, it's so ungodly, it's so uncalled for. You know, 2020, you know, someone says we have 2020 vision in 2020. No, we don't have 2020 vision. No man sees anything. There's only one way out of this mess. And that is to love our neighbor as ourself. There's no other way. It's to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. The great commandment. And the second is just like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's all that's required. Whenever Pelosi or whoever it was and Trump held up the Bible, you know what I wanted them to say? I wanted to say, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And that's what's needed. We are the sons and daughters of God. Pray. Keep your face in the Word of God. Walk in the victory that Jesus has purchased for you and gave his life for. We're not a defeated people. We're not going under. We're going over because we are citizens of heaven. I love you tonight. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. And may no perilous pestilence ever come nigh your dwelling. In the mighty name of Jesus, I love you. I hope to see all of you on Sunday. God bless each and every one. Amen and amen.